scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 6, 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Once again, good morning. We are glad that you are here present for our worship as we assemble for no other intent, no other reason than to worship God in the way He prescribed in spirit and in truth. Glad that you are here for that. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we look at Psalm number 99. Psalm number 99 as we continue our study of that great collection of psalms. A few things that I do want to make mention of before we get into our sermon this morning. We're going to mention one of the announcements, but our gospel meeting, it's a week closer than it was last week. We are getting there. I hope you're making plans to attend and inviting somebody, because if we all just brought one person, then we would have a full auditorium. And that's one more person each person brings that needs to hear the gospel. So I hope you're making plans for that. Also, it is Fair Week in Warren County. If you're planning on going to the fair, if you go to the old village, they have the old Antioch Church building, which used to be where Bridgestone sits now. But some of our brethren in Warren County are having a singing there every night of the week, usually around 6 o'clock. Sometimes there's two that night. There's a schedule posted outside, so if you're there, I encourage you to take advantage of that. It's a cool thing when we can meet there, sing praises to God. One more thing, and we'll get on with the lesson. Is there are some brand new copies of Seek the Old Paths. It's the September 2018 edition. And I encourage you, if you're not on this mailing list, to either grab one in the lobby. If you need more, I'll call Brother Robinson. But this week, this issue is really good. I've already read about half of it. And it's dealing with the subject, will the earth be destroyed when Jesus comes back, or will we remain on the earth as a new earth? Of course, that teaching is contrary to what the Word of God says. Yet there are many in this own county that believe when Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to set up a kingdom here on this earth. And they're going to burn away the bad parts and keep the good. Brethren, that's contrary to what Scripture says. And there are some great articles in that. I encourage you to pick that up, brush up on that topic, because there are people who think that here. With that, let us look at our sermon this morning. We're going to talk about perseverance. Because perseverance is something that we as Christians, we have to persevere each and every day of our lives. Here in our lesson text of Ephesians, in chapter 6, Paul is starting to draw his thoughts to a close. He starts out by saying, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise." And he keeps going on down, and he gets to about verse 12, and he starts talking about wrestling with flesh and blood. Verse 13, he starts to say, put on the whole armor of God. And then he goes through and describes every part of a typical Roman soldier's suit of armor. And he says that we need to be complete to fight the battle against the adversary, which is Satan. And so you wouldn't go into battle missing one piece of your armor, so we need to be complete. But if you look at verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so Paul's speaking about the very attitude we need to exhibit as Christians in verse 18. And he first speaks that we need to engage this in prayer, verse 18, and supplication. And then he says we need all perseverance. Now the word perseverance means to persist. It means to endure in spite of the elements that are arrayed against you. Persist or endure despite whatever is coming against you. You know, you may face adversity. You may go through something that's difficult, but if you persevere, you're going to go through it anyways, knowing that it's not going to be the easiest road. If you take the word persevere back to its Latin roots, it literally means through severity. If you go through something that is severe, then you are going to persevere. That's where we get that word today. What about in our society? Brethren, we live in the age of instant oatmeal, microwave popcorn. We're not big on perseverance. We're not. We have now, for if I order something today online, Tuesday morning it will be sitting on my doorstep. If you live in a bigger city, you could have it within the same hour. We're not good on persevering. We don't like to wait. We want things immediately. We want everything at our convenience. But in such a society, how do we develop perseverance? So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And to develop the art of perseverance, we need four simple things. And if you're taking notes, I'll start with the letter T. Perseverance. We need, number one, we need test or trials or troubles. Either of those words work. We need test, we need trials, or we need troubles. What do I mean? Well, before we can persevere, we need the severe. Before we can go through something that's difficult, we have to have something that's difficult to go through. We already know that the word literally means through severity. This comes through the form of trials, tests, or troubles. One can't persevere without going through the severe. Now, the faithful Christian will know his or her share of troubles. Jesus Christ never promised it's going to be a rose garden. In fact, 1 Peter 4:16, one of the three times the word Christian is mentioned in the Bible, it talks about suffering persecution. If any man suffers persecution as a Christian, let him rejoice. Let him be happy. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, towards the end of Paul's life, he has drastically changed his tone from 1 Timothy to 2 Timothy. Because Paul's in prison, and Paul knows that when he gets out of prison, he's not going to have much longer. History tells us that he's released from prison to be executed. And so he writes here in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if anybody could write this, it would be the Apostle Paul, would it not? 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 29. We don't have time to go through all those verses, but Paul gives a summary of how many times he was beaten and the three times that he was shipwrecked. He later had a fourth one after that writing. And the time that he was stoned and left for dead. And all the times people hated him and wanted to kill him. Paul knows what it's like to go through troubles, but I want us to know that our troubles are not all external. Sometimes they're internal. We can place tremendous pressure upon ourselves through worry, setting unrealistic goals for ourselves, thinking negatively towards our friends, not being thankful, not rejoicing in the Lord. Sometimes we bring those things upon ourselves. And for instance, we set a goal that we want to clean the entire house in an hour. It's an unrealistic goal. And then you put all this stress and worry on you because you can't meet the goal that you set. Sometimes we bring these things upon ourselves. We need to practice perseverance. And so when we get into situations like this, when we persevere through trials, though, we will grow as Christians. Because that's what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to grow. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, you have gone through fire. You have been tried. You have these tests and these trials. Let's see what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted of God. For not God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. What does James say? Blessed is the man. But it sounds just like the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, doesn't it? Jesus Christ's third Sermon on the Mount. Here James says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. When he is tried, he receives the crown of life. Brother, enduring tests and trials helps us to persevere. That's number one. Number two, for perseverance, we need the truth. We need the truth. Because truth gives us a reason to persevere. It's not enough to persevere if we don't have anything to hold on to. brethren, truth is worth persevering for. In order for our perseverance, we have to value truth in our lives. We have to realize what truth is and seek to acquire it and seek to maintain it. We've got to persevere in doing the right things. You know, when all else is crumbling around us, truth and persevering for the truth gives us something to hold on to. We've got to abide in Christ's words to have truth in our life. That's what Jesus Christ says. John chapter 8, 31 and 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Verse 31 says, you have to abide in my words. And my words are truth, and my words set you free. Let's look in Acts chapter 4, verses 21 and 22, when we talk about persevering in truth. Acts chapter 4, verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. The disciples have cured a man, and the people didn't like him. And so they tried to bring them in for questioning them. But the disciples held on to the truth, and if you note the end of verse 41, I even underlined it in my Bible. We're starting with 4. For all men glorified God for which was done. They went through difficulty, but they persevered. They held on to the truth, and because of that, they glorified God for what he had done. He had cured this man that had an incurable disease. Brethren, we've got to persevere in doing the right things, but by persevering in what is right, we also need to be assured that what we're holding on to isn't empty. What we're holding on to isn't empty. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I dare say, and I may go out a little bit of a limb here, but if you were to ask a lot of the gospel preachers that you may know, if they had a verse that they go to draw strength from when they feel like they're facing a lot of difficulties, I'd say 1 Corinthians 15:58 is on the list. It may not be number one, but it's on there. Let's see what Paul says. Paul has just talked about the resurrection and coming back. We talk about the victory in Jesus, verse 57-58. Therefore, summing it all up. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have to realize that when we persevere, when we hold on to the truth, it's not in vain. But we're actually doing a good work and working for the kingdom. In fact, Hebrews 13 and 16 says that with sacrifices like this, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So knowing and practicing the truth helps aid us in perseverance. Because we have something that will guide us through the difficulty. That's number two, is truth. Number three this morning, in order to persevere, we need time. In order to persevere, we simply need time. Time is a necessary component of perseverance. We honestly can't say that we've persevered until a sufficient amount of time has gone by. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you have probably been on a road trip, and either you have heard this phrase or you've asked it. Are we there yet? You travel to Florida and you cross in the Florida line, but you're going down to the bottom and people start saying, are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No. When such a question is asked, without a sufficient amount of time passing, we know that someone hasn't been persevering. Someone hasn't been riding in that car ride for that long. If I were to drive from here to Mom and Dad's house, and as I turn on Cap Young Road, if I said, are we there yet? Kind of pointless. You're there in just a second. You haven't persevered long enough. But if I rode from here to Washington, D.C., I could probably ask that question because I've been riding the car for 12 hours. And I'm ready to get over this. Repetition also will help us persevere. We've been through something once and we have to go through it a second time. We remember what we did. If it worked well, we do it again. If it didn't, we try something else. We're going through just like making a road trip. First time you drive somewhere, it seems like it takes forever and a day. Then you go back and it seems like it's the same amount of time, but it just doesn't seem like it. The more we experience something, the better we are to endure it. But we must recognize the temporal nature of things that happen in time, and this also helps us persevere. We have to realize that whatever we're facing is temporary in the grand scheme of things. If you're with me in 1 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the first line, when he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know what that makes me think of? Song in our songbook, probably 350, I think, is the number. Farther along. Tempted and tried, we're all faced to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Whatever's living about us never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. In time we'll understand. Cheer up, my brother, and live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. We know that our days on earth are limited, and time can be our friend as we struggle and persevere. You're dealing with something, you have to realize that it only lasts for a while. We know in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, it states the lifespan of man, 80, if by reason of faith, by health, 80. People live longer than that. But we know that time, as James puts it, is just but a vapor. Life is but a vapor. So time is our friend in helping to develop the art of perseverance. We need time. If we just deal with something for a minute or two, we don't persevere because it's just a light thing. But things we struggle with, time does help that. Lastly this morning, number 4, your fourth T is trust. Fourth T is trust. And this is the big one. In order to persevere, watch this, we need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trusting in God will get us through difficulties like nothing else will. And it will also help us persevere. We know Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. It makes me, every time I read that or I see that on the board or whatever, it makes me wonder, how much do I trust in God? Do I trust in God with all my heart? Or do I do some of my heart and I lean some of my own understanding, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. The wisest man ever said, trust the Lord with all. Speaking of songs, there's a song in the songbook, All of Self and None of Thee. I love that song. Because the song talks about a man at the first, he says, I'm going to give God none of self and all of me. And he realizes the folly of his ways. And then he says, some of self and some of thee. And he ends, he says, none of self and all of thee. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. When we trust God, we know that our paths are directed by Him. Let's spend the time that we have remaining. Let's go back to the book of Psalms. Because the psalmist talks a lot about trusting in God. Let's start in Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37 and 5, David writes, he said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, if we note here, when we trust in the Lord, then our future will be secure. Trust in Him, and it will come, will bring it to pass. It will, whatever you're going through will pass by. Let's flip now to Psalm 62. Psalm number 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Here David is once again writing. This is the only psalm. Verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. See. When we trust in God, we're in a safe haven. It's a place of refuge. It's a place that we can go to when we're facing difficult times. When adversity seems to strike left and right, and you can't even feel like you stand up because you're being hit all the time, God's our safe haven if we put our trust in Him at all times. One more psalm is in Psalm 125. 125, there in the first verse. That's the Song of Degrees. We're in the section of Psalms where they're just little short blurbs, if you will. With Psalm 125 and 1, we learn that when we trust in the Lord, we shall endure. Psalm 125, 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. What's Mount Zion? That's Jerusalem. Spiritually speaking, that's the church. And so he says, when you trust in the Lord, you can't be moved. You can endure whatever comes your way. Isaiah says in Isaiah 26 and 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's where we get our strength from, brethren. Trusting in the Lord is key when we are trying to develop the art of perseverance. What do we need for perseverance this morning? We need tests or trials. We need truth. We need time. And we need to trust. Are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Are you persevering when difficult things come your way? Are you facing them head on God's team? Or are you trying to do it on your own accord? Let me encourage you that if you're not on God's team, get there this morning. How do you do that? You hear the gospel, you believe it's true, repent of your sins, make that public confession, you're baptized, go in that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. We'd love to assist you in making that step this morning. You have done that. Keep going. Keep persevering. As Paul would tell Timothy when he closed in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 9, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but also those that love his appearing. We can be like Paul when we face the end and say, I know I've got that crown of life waiting on me. If sin is in your life, why not come back this very morning and repent and get back on the right track with God? If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.